All right, welcome to our discussion of beards in Jewish law, Jewish thought. You may notice I don't have a beard today. I work as a chaplain in the hospital and trying to fit for an N95, so they said we needed to shave our beards. So actually, I always shave a little bit on different parts of the face to trim my beard. So what's the basis for that? How do people trim a beard? Is there a prohibition against that? We know that very often we associate rabbis and Jews with beards, long beards. So what's the story and how does that work? So it's a little bit awkward to talk about it without a beard. It's easier to talk about when you have a beard. But I thought it would be a good opportunity to learn something about this topic. So I'm going to share my screen with you and we'll continue. So here we have the CDC guidelines telling us that if you're wearing an N95 mask, you really don't get the benefit of it, the full benefit, if you have that kind of beard over there. Whether my beard qualified or not, it's a whole other discussion. But we know many Jews look like this. Many Jews classically have long beards in Israel today. It's very common, particularly in the settler community, but all over Israel, that people, men like to have long beards and just bushy beards and with no regard for sort of the Western trim look. And so let's talk about that, both philosophically and, of course, most importantly, halachically, bottom line, in Jewish law. So first, you notice a few things in Tanakh about beards. One is a very strange image. I still don't have it completely figured out, but Shir Malol David, famous verse, it's a Psalm of David. It's so pleasant, and how beautiful it is to have brothers sitting together. You know what it's like? It's like the Shemen Tov al Harosh, Yored al Zakan, Zakan Aaron. It's like the anointing oil. You know, Moses anointed Aaron to be the high priest, and when the oil fell down, it fell on his beard. It was supposed to be on his head, but there was so much it fell on his beard. It went over collar of his robe, it went above the beyond. The Talmud discusses, well, maybe he gave him too much oil, he shouldn't have used so much oil, some of the oil went on his beard, maybe it was me'ila, maybe he was trespassing holy things, but they said that was okay. But maybe it's like when there's friendship, it overpours, it overflows, and it's on Aaron's beard. So we have an image of Aaron with his special kind of beard. Also in Samuel 2, chapter 10, there was this, David sent a message to Pharaoh, and not only were the people not greeted nicely, but Hanun actually cut off half their beards and cut away half their garments, up to the pupik, and he sent them home. So they told David, and he wanted to talk to them, but they were so embarrassed, so he waited till their beard grew. Now, why were they so embarrassed? Because their beard was cut off. Why don't they cut off the other half of the beard? It won't be weird. Once I had a friend who had a beard, for Purim, he cut off half his beard. All right, that was a joke, but why didn't he cut the other half off? What's the problem? So the Radak, Rabbi David Kimchi of Provence, and around the year 1200 or so, he says, why didn't he just cut off the other, if they're embarrassed about their half beard, that the king of this other king had cut off half their beard, why don't they cut the other half and it won't be so embarrassing? He says their custom was not to cut the beard at all, only even with a scissor, only the mustache they would cut, maybe so it wouldn't get inside your food. The only time, veivel, sometimes mourning or something, people as a sign of mourning, they would cut their beard. In those days, it would be a disgrace to have a shaved beard. But it's a custom to do so in countries where we are. Now, it's not clear, does he mean among Jews where we are, or does he mean among Gentiles where we are? In the Encyclopedia Judaica, they have an illuminated manuscript from of the Mishneh Torah from Spain in the early 14th century, and there is a fellow there who has sort of a little Van Dyke, does not have a full beard. It's an interesting question. We'll get back to it later. Did Jews throughout the Middle Ages, did they always have beards? But certainly it could be a disgrace for a man to not have a beard in certain societies. And the question is that an absolute? Is that our practice, or is that our philosophy? So let's take a look. So I wanted to present the verse in Leviticus, but in its context. First, Leviticus 19 is the famous chapter that has, you know, love your neighbor as yourself, but it also has some other things. And it does say you should not round your head. So, you know, if you, let me just spotlight my video here. If you take a bowl and you give yourself a haircut all around here and cut all the way down here, you would have a straight line down there. So we're not supposed to do that. So it says that, number one. And number two, lo tashchit, you do not destroy the corners of your beard. Corners of your beard? What are the corners of your beard? Where are they? So here's some corners. Where exactly are these things? So there's the corners over here. That's kind of clear because we don't want to round it off. But then there's a corner of your beard. So the whole beard has some corners. Is it next to the mustache? Is it where the head and the chin bone connect? Is it at the chin? Some suggest even down there. So the Rabbi Chana. So it's not clear where it is. A whole debate about that. But there are two different prohibitions. One is over here. Notice I did not shave over here because that's the Akafat HaRosh. You couldn't do it in any way. But you shouldn't destroy, but you could perhaps do it in a way that's not total destruction, your beard. So that's a distinction between the two. But what's the context? Don't eat on blood. It's a very vague verse that could be interpreted many different ways. The rabbis interpret it many ways. But it's something to do with blood and sacrifice. And lo tana chashuv lo tunenu, you shouldn't use divination and soothsaying. These are things that pagans do. The next thing, sarah levesh lo tunenu, you shouldn't have tattoos, shouldn't make marks on your skin when you're mourning or for other reasons. So the whole context is sort of a pagan context. Well, don't you think? It does kind of seem that way. So maybe it's something against paganism. So if that's so, then not only would it be a prohibition to cut your beard or in certain ways, but also it might even be a prohibition of idolatry, of being sort of in the realm of idols, looking like the idolaters do. Now, why not? Why shouldn't we cut our beard? So the tour outlines a debate between himself and the Rambam. Hakafat HaRosh HaShechad HaZaken Gam Elu Katav Be'elu Katav Rambam Shasram HaKatuv Nesha Osin Ken Ovdei Chavim. He says these two prohibitions of rounding out the side of your head and cutting your beard, the Rambam says it's because that's what Gentiles do. That's what pagans do. I'm not sure whether it's a pagan or the Gentile thing. But he says, look, that's not explicit. You don't need to look for new reasons for a mitzvah. The king says so. God says so. We don't need to know the reasons. Of course, the Torah himself gives reasons for tzitzit and sukkah and tefillin. So it's a little hard to say that the Torah was against reasons. But he's saying it's not really just because of that. The Rambam takes that very seriously. The Rambam, in his counting of the mitzvot, he says as follows. He says, he defines the mitzvah in his book of mitzvot, where doesn't get so philosophical in the book of mitzvot. He's just listing the mitzvot. And he says, we shouldn't cut the sides of our heads. We shouldn't want to look like the idolaters, because that's what the priests of the idolatry used to do. They would cut their sideburns right over here. So the Rambam defines this mitzvah as such, and he puts it in the laws of idolatry. That's where he puts these types of laws, because again, he sees the juxtaposition of the verses. He saw those verses together, and he said, oh, look, it's all these idolatrous things. It's all about that. So according to him, not only would it be prohibited to cut your payos, but it's also the payot, the sides, but it's also, and perhaps the beer, we have to talk about that, but it's also an idolatrous way. The Beit Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch, says that, what do you mean? The Rambam's just looking at the context of the verses. The Rambam's not saying that we only do it because of this. It's always good to give reason. So, interesting debate in general about Tamei Mitzvot, about whether we should give reasons for Mitzvot. But it's also important here, what is the reason for this prohibition? Because if we could find some technical reason that a beard is okay, it's okay to trim your beard or cut the beard, but so it might pass the test of this verse. Maybe somehow we'll say, we're not going to destroy the beard. We're going to do it in a way that's not total destruction. But is it in violation of going in the ways of the Gentiles? Rabbeinu Bachya gives a third approach. Again, the Torah says, we don't know what the reason is. It's just not supposed to do it. The Rambam says it's an idolatrous way. Rabbeinu Bachya says something else. Some of the later commentators are also interested in this as well. He was a student of the Nachmanides, so he lived about 1300 or so in Spain. According to the plain meaning of the text, the reason, the visible sign that God has given man, distinguish him from females. So the species should not be destroyed. I assume he means by that, we want to have men, we want to have women. That way, you know, birds and the bees and everything will go well. By destroying one's beard, one commits an act of rebellion against God, what God had intended. So here's a sort of an idea that, like, God doesn't want it that way. We do find certain things like that, like we don't mix different plants and seeds together. Apparently, species are supposed to be the way they're supposed to be. But on the other hand, you know, you can build a house. You say, well, wait, God didn't want it to be that way. See, it's a beautiful hill where there's a plain, and you're putting a house there. It's not the way God wanted it to be. We don't take that approach. So how far do you go with this business of we don't want to change God's way? Violating this commandment in similar class and violating the commandment not to mate different species. He thinks it's connected to not mixing different species. And there are many things in the Torah where we don't mix one with the other. During the report of the creation of the Torah, creation, the Torah stresses again and again that God created all species each according to their respective species, and there's no crossbreeding. We're created according to our gender. So we want the genders to be absolutely clear. Again, maybe the payas is enough. Women don't have long sideburns, usually. So maybe that's enough. Or what about the beard? What if you can still tell that someone's a man? Is that good enough? Is there a danger here? Does a man really look like a woman just because he shaved his beard? Maybe it's more effeminate, but does he look like a woman? Some people would say that even if you say that this mitzvah is not specifically related to that, they might throw a different prohibition at you. They say, oh, you're dressing like a woman. That just like a man doesn't wear a skirt, men shouldn't shave his beard. He's trying to look like a woman. But again, even there, rabbis say that it has to be a good disguise. If you're wearing a Purim, if I have a long beard and I wear a dress, so I'm not really dressing as a woman. It's no one thinks I'm a woman. There are people who can dress really well, and you wonder, is that a man or a woman? That's cross-dressing. That's what the Torah prohibited. So to hear, we could raise a question: if a man shaves his beard, does that mean he looks like a woman? So we have to think about that as well. Rashi, what is Rashi? Has Rashi explained this from a halachic point of view? What are the definitions here? Well, lo takifu. The first one is not to even the back of the ears and the forehead, right? And then to make like a circle haircut. And then the corners, the tip of the beard, that would be the chin maybe, and the sides, making together five corners, two on each cheek, so one up here and down there, one near the temples, near the two corners, and one at the bottom, the chin, the conjunction of the two cheeks. So there's a lot of debate about that. And therefore, we say, you know what? We don't use a razor on any of this part. Under the beard, we don't use a razor. We don't cut the payas at all. And on the corner. And then this, we don't want to destroy it, so we don't use a razor. What about a shaver? We'll see in a minute. Where do we get this idea of some sort of shaver? So it says that the Kohanim cannot make bald spots on their heads. You know, some of the idolatrous priests would do that. They also cannot cut off their payas, their sideburns, but it says yigalechu. To legaleach is shaving, and it often has to do with a razor. So the rabbi said, let's put the two verses together. It says, don't destroy the side growth. And then it says here, don't shave it, which means a razor. So they said, if it shaves like a razor, then it's prohibited. And that's where there may be some room for the shaver the electric shaver, because does it shave like a razor? That's the question. The Gemara Makos says, you're only obligated if you use a razor. Then they quote the verse in Leviticus that you shouldn't, the verse in Leviticus about the Kohen, that you should not shave it. And he says, well, maybe you can't even use a scissor. You can take a scissor, put it on your skin. So he says, no. It says, don't destroy it. So when you use a scissor, there's something left. But if it means you shouldn't destroy, maybe if you pluck it out with a tweezer, it'll take a long time, but you take a tweezer and pluck out every hair, maybe you'd be obligated. So it says, no, shouldn't shave it. So it has to be a type of shaving. Hakeza has a word, giluach sheish v'ashkasa. It has to be a shaving, and it has to have a complete a destruction of it. And what is that? A razor. So the question is, what about a modern shaver? Is that like a razor, or people call it the electric razor, electric shaver? Is that like a razor or not? If it is, you're not allowed to shave your beard in any sort of way. Well, with an electric shaver. Some people use, I think it's called depilatory. They use a different types of chemicals that would remove a beard. That's not a razor. Okay. So if you remove it with chemical, that would definitely not be a razor. What about with an electric shaver? We'll get to that later. The Rambam, as I said, puts in the laws of idolatry. He says you don't cut the corners of your head like the idolaters do. So for him, it's very central to this mitzvah. It's true. The Rambam in general loves to talk about the meaning of mitzvah, but here it's like intertwined. It's in the laws of idolatry. He really is big on this. The Torah says, let's separate these two things. It could be, it's a theory, but nothing. Anyway, he quotes it. And therefore, if you cut the two sides, you're in violation. When someone else does it, you can't get lashes for just sitting idly by if someone else is doing it. But if you help the barber, you say, move your head over a little bit, then you're in active violation as well. Rambam continues. The rabbi said that how much should you leave? So some people say it's 40 hairs. There are others who have other numbers. And he says you're allowed to do it with a scissor. Only thing is prohibited is a razor. The Ramah, the Ashkenazic authority on the Shulchan Aruch, says, well, the scissor, you got to be careful. Don't use the sharp part of the scissor. And make sure you have the blade will be, the one part will be on your skin, and then you'll cut with the other one, which will leave something, the width of the blade of the scissor. It will leave that there. So that's what Dharma says. He seems to be saying, the Rambam seems to be saying, that no, as long as it's not a razor, you're okay. So there's more room to be lenient within the Rambam's view. But again, he thinks it's an idolatrous kind of thing. Of course, it doesn't apply to women. Women don't have this kind of hair, and if she has hair over there, or she has beard, take off hair is not a problem. She can use a razor; it's not a problem. Now he mentions that the Kohanim of Avodah Zarah, the idolatrous priests, they used to do this, and therefore the Torah prohibited the beard as well. And he says there are five. Where are they? There's the upper cheek and the lower cheek on the right side and the left side, and then the chin. So that's what he says. But there are other opinions as well. So we're not sure where it is. So we don't use a razor on any of it. Some thought, oh, it's definitely not here, or it's definitely not under the chin, or it's definitely not under the mustache. But they say, well, it might be. So let's not do it. The Rabbi Nachman thought it could be here. They say it is a custom not to go over at the mustache, etc. The Rambam says, theoretically, you could shave your mustache, not the edge of it. But then some people say, no, the edge of the mustache is exactly where it is. And now we're talking about with a razor, and he says also the hair that comes right off of the lip you can shave. So he would have like an Amish beard, you know. But Lagla Yisrael Lashkita. No, we don't. The custom of Israel is not to cut your mustache. Rather, you make sure it doesn't bother your food. So here I'll take a little pause for a little joke my father shared with me. And that is that as long as it doesn't prevent your food. So there was once a fellow who gets married, who got married to a daughter of a wealthy man, and he figured he would sit and study Torah and until he got a little bit older. So he made a deal. I'm only 18 years old. Now when my beard grows out, then I'll go to work. In the meantime, you'll support me studying Torah. So father-in-law supports him. Then all of a sudden, the father-in-law discovers that the man is shaving his beard. So the whole deal was that he would support him until his beard grew out. But now the father-in-law discovered that he's shaving his beard. So he says, what are you doing? We had a deal. He says, no. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, in the Code of Jewish Law, that you can shave the mustache as long as it interferes with your food, you can shave it. So I keep shaving because it's interfering with my deal I made with you about the food. Anyway, a little interlude, a little joke there, and we can go back to our discussion. So that's the Rambam. So the Rambam thinks even the mustache is custom not to shave it. But if it's bothering your food, you can cut it, you can trim it a little bit. Same thing on Chol Moed, different occasions, when you're not supposed to shave. If it interferes with your food, you can cut it. The Rambam writes that one is not liable for this only with a razor, but with a this is a Shulchan Aruch. I apologize. Shulchan Aruch says you're only obligated for, let me just fix that here. Shulchan Aruch says that you're only obligated. Shulchan Aruch, it's in your day. It's in 181. So he says you're only obligated on the destruction of the beard only with a razor. But with scissors, it's fine, even if it's like a razor. So the Shulchan Aruch sounds like the Rambam, that, you know, even if you get a very close shave, don't worry about it. As long as it's a scissor action, you're okay. But the Rambam says, no, we're careful that we use the top of the scissor, but not the bottom part. So you don't want to do it like with the bottom, because then it'll be like a scissor. So in other words, if you're really cutting close to the skin, it's no good. Under here, it's okay, because that's not really the pay. It's play. Over there, you could use a scissor. Okay. So the Rama might object to our electric shaver, because it gets closer. But we could still argue that even the Rama would say that an electric shaver, what do you have? There is a piece of metal that's on your skin, and the cutting takes place somewhere else. The piece of metal is like the bottom part of the scissor, and the blade that's inside is like the top of the scissor. And even in our shavers, the plate is on your skin, and the scissor is inside. So maybe even the Rama would allow the electric shaver. And he says, look, we don't know where the peyot hazakin, where those the corners of your head, which we call colloquially the peyos. We know where that is. That's right here. It really ends at the bottom of the ear. And some people go down all the way to the bottom of the side over here. And some people will stop at the right here. So picture very salvagic in which he seemed to do that. It's where you can feel the jaw is changing. There's the jawbone is there. You just go down to there. It's very hard to get exactly, so it's good to be a little bit longer. But in any event, when it comes to the corners of the beard, the five corners of the beard, there are a lot of opinions, he says. The Shulchan Aruch does not take a position on where they are. So he says, therefore, if you fear God, don't put a razor on any part of the beard, even underneath the chin, which, you know, some people say is okay. However, why is it that many Jews, you'll see, not only do they have a beard, but they have a wild beard. It's a bushy beard. It looks like they never cut their beard. It's based on the Ari, quoted here by the Baraitev and other commentators on the Shulchan Aruch, on the Code of Jewish Law. The Ari, the great mystic from Tzfat, he didn't shave anything. Lo b'tav lo b'sprayim, he didn't use a razor, he didn't use a scissor either. He never put a scissor to his beard, lo b'shumakom, in any place on the beard. The head, yes, there's a cute story about that too. They say, they once asked this rabbi, why is it that you people, Jews, you don't shave your beard, but you shave your head? And we shave our head, but we shave our beards, but we leave our head. He says, that which I achieved during my childhood, I shed that. That's the hair up here. But that which I achieved as an older person, with more thought, that I leave. So the emphasis is on what we achieved during later life. Anyway, back to our more halachic discussion. So here comes the great mystic Ari, and he says, no. Talmud may say that you could use scissor on your beard, but no, don't do it. Why? Unless it interferes with your eating. That's a different story, right? Father-in-law joke. Gaman is our lowly gabbis canoe. He didn't touch his beard. Shemi yaker chashon beiz misarosav. Zapogin boker tzinoach. If he, God forbid, cut out two hairs, it would uproot sinor echad. It would uproot one channel. I don't know if it's some sort of Kabbalistic term referring to channels of the beard represents channels of blessing that come to us or different things. He didn't want to do it. So there's some Kabbalistic meaning for which he did not want to shave at all. And that's what Chabad Jews, those followers of Chabad, they follow that because they're very big into the Ari. And so they never shave the beard at all. You'll notice Chabad beard, you can always tell Chabad beard because it's wild. It's not, there's no trimming to it. A person could go like this and, you know, shape it with their hands, but there's no trimming. They leave it completely. The Shach says, no, Shulchan Aruch is good enough for me. The Shach was the major authority on the code of Jewish law. He says, yes, I heard what the Ari said, but have a low, low sif alachum. You know, there's enough stringencies. It's okay. So there was one authority who says, maybe you should put a comb. Like the barbers do, they put a comb on your beard, and then they cut with a scissor after that. That way it doesn't go on the skin. So there's another suggestion as well. So now let's get to the bottom line of electric shavers. Because if someone is going to shave every day, if someone's going to be clean shaven like this, they're going to have to use an electric shaver. And what's the story with electric shavers? Does that change the game? Because actually, we'll get to the Chasam Sofer, we'll talk about some of the history. But we know that in Western Europe, people tended to have shaved beards. Maybe they used those different chemicals to take it off. In Italy, people had shaved beards. Perhaps Ramchal at some point had a shaved beard. But in Poland, people tended not to. But in modern times, with the electric shaver, obviously a lot of people went to shaving. But the question is it permitted? So in the 1700s, the Noda Behuda addresses this issue. They didn't have electric shavers, but they began to have people who were starting to shave. And he says, well, I'll tell you what. First cut it with a scissor, and then you have such a small measure, it's not really a real hair anymore. It's not a real measure. Then you can use a razor. And even on Chol HaMoed, in other words, usually on Chol HaMoed, we don't shave during Chol HaMoed. He says, no, you want to look nice every day. You want to look nice, clean shaven like you do every day. So on Chol HaMoed, you want to look nice too. The intermediate days of Pesach and Sukkot, you want to look good too. So you could shave then too. Chasam Sofer, who was guarding the community, making sure people didn't change too much in Judaism. He said, no, you shouldn't do that. You cannot use a razor at all. This rabbi from Hartford, who my great grandfather supported this book, but he didn't really support the rabbi that much. He thought he was too liberal. But Yitzchak Simcha Horowitz, Hilla Horowitz's grandfather, I think, from Hartford, Connecticut. He also took that position that people could, you know, keep a close shave, and then they use a razor because they're only cutting a small amount. It didn't count. But this is very not normative. We don't do that. Religious Jews do not use a razor to shave any part of the beard at all. And Chasam Sofer was against this leniency. And although Noda Behuda is a great authority, we don't follow that. And then, of course, you have to deal with this problem about the ways of the Gentile. Ram and laws of Avodah Zarah says, forbidden to follow the customs of idolaters who imitate them, neither in dress nor hair trimming. Again, you say, what are Gentile hair trimmings, right? go walk down the street. This one has a beard, this one doesn't have a beard. Look at the baseball players, the basketball players, right? What's that fellow's name? It has that big, big bulky beard. There's all kinds of, is it, can you say today that a beard makes you more Jewish, less Jewish? There's a certain type of beard that makes you look Jewish. Maybe we could say that having a beard is Jewish, but not having a beard could be Jewish or not Jewish. Anyway, it's an interesting question. You know, in terms of, in general, walking the ways of the Gentiles, do we say you can't go to the theater because Gentiles go to a theater? Well, if the theater is showing a nice play about Hamilton, I'm not sure what the problem is in going to that theater. You say that you shouldn't wear a suit and tie because Gentiles wear ties. Well, I mean, it's reasonable. It looks funny. It looks like kind of empty if you don't have a tie. So I put on a tie. It's not that I'm trying to look like a Gentile. It's just a reasonable thing to do. I want to have some decoration over here. I don't want to look so plain. It's not an unusual thing. So the whole question of how to define what it means to walk in the ways of the Gentiles, not walk in the ways of the Gentiles, is an interesting question. But the Rambam, for the Rambam, it's clear. If you wear your hair like Gentiles, you're in trouble. There's an idea that, you know, when they go to wide ties, don't switch right away to a wide tie. They go to short, narrow ties. Don't go right away. You shouldn't be like exactly up on the latest styles. We don't want to be exactly like the Gentiles. So there is something to that. So, you know, if there was a special hairdo in the 70s, you had long hair, and then the 50s, you had to have short hair. You know, so maybe you don't want to be exactly on track with the other customs, because you want to have your independence. You know, you don't want to be swept away with the ways of the Gentiles. Don't go in the ways of the Gentiles. It's a verse in Leviticus. Now, Chassam Sofer addresses this question of the ways of the Gentiles. And although he was strict about the shaver, but he said as follows. As far as having a beard, he was a little bit lenient. He said as follows. We never find in the Jewish books and the non-Jewish books, we never find that somebody said that the difference between a Jew and a non-Jew is whether you have a beard. It's interesting. He says, in those days, everybody had a beard. I mean, I don't know, Shakespeare's time, what? People had beards. Men tend to have beards. It's hard to shave them, so they leave them. There is one source where somebody asked Rabbi Yeshua, why do you people grow your beards? But we don't really find that was different than Gentiles. He says, what about the Mekubalim, the Kabbalist, the Ari, who says you shouldn't touch your hair at all? He says, look, I say it with humility because I truly don't know a lot of things. He said it with true humility because he was a great scholar. And yet, he said, look, I don't know anything about mystical things. Hold on one second, Nachshon, I'll get to your question. He says, but it's already been permitted for Jews to shave. Why? In all the lands of Italy, where all the sages of Italy had shaved beards, and they depend on Rabbi Nachum Azariah, the author of the Asara Mamaros, the father of Kabbalists. And he didn't have a beard. He didn't have one hair. And there were some other people. And by Omer Shalpikah, could be that outside of Israel, we're not worthy of that high level. So in Israel, the Ari, or today, a lot of Jews in Israel, they have long beards. Maybe they should. That's a Kabbalistic thing. Maybe outside of Israel, this Kabbalistic thing doesn't apply. But he says, I don't know anything about this. I can't elaborate on that. But he claims that once there were persecutions and Jews started shaving their beards, they didn't want to. Here we go here. He says, our ancestors instituted that because of a great need, he says it was in the days of the persecutions, in the days of the Crusades, in 1097, and they allowed people to change their clothing and to cut their beards so the Gentiles shouldn't recognize us and kill us. So in those days, apparently Gentiles did cut their beards. So the custom became not to grow the beard. So Ragach Mufligat Torah, some people were very pious and big rabbis. They stayed in their house all the time. They would grow a big beard, but everybody else didn't. Then when they ran to Poland, they were saved from this persecution. So in Poland, they grew their beard. But people who stayed in Germany, in Western Europe, they continued to do this. And therefore, it's not considered a Gentile custom. The Jews did it out of great holiness to protect themselves in those days. So at that point, it became permitted for Jews to be shaven. There's no problem at all. He says, look, that's why we can explain that those who have shaven beards, it's okay. However, there are those who are very strict. The Chafetz Chaim said that this machine, electric shaver, this new thing in the early 20th century, they use it just like a shaver. It takes out the hairs completely, and there's nothing left of the hairs. And if you use that, you violate the verse in the Torah. You should stay far away from this. Usually we follow the Chofetz Chaim, but here many people are lenient. But notice his definition is, if it completely destroys the hair, then it's like a razor. But you might say, no, it's not a question of whether the result is like a shaver, is like a razor. The question is the process like a razor? It's not like a razor. You don't take a sharp implant and run it down your face. Rather, there's a catch, there's a little hole, catches the hair, and then it cuts it off. Also, Rabbi Yaakov Breish in the Chelkas Yaakov, a very important work in the 20th century of Chuvos, responsa, he writes that, look, Dehechishim is galchin yatsu nekiyim ba'ofan shabbos v'naseh chalak l'gamrei. Shloshim shum roshim gluk hazeh, the entire Yishlo. If you come out and you're so clean shaven, then it's like a razor and it's forbidden. So there are those who are very strict, and certainly one wants to be strict. Certainly support that. That's perfectly good. Rav Ovadia Yosef is somewhere in between. He was a great Sephardic authority. He says those who were lenient in a case of great need, like if they need to make a living, working as a chaplain, you need to shave your, put on your N95, or because it'll create a machlikas. Bluma doesn't like my beard. So Yeshlam HaYeshlam, you can rely on it. But he says, don't put the shaver too close to you. Don't like rub it in. You don't want to cut everything completely, and you don't want to cut the skin itself. But he says, you know, this is a Torah prohibition, so we got to be very careful about this. And so make sure you use the right type of shaver if you can, so it doesn't get all the way to the bottom. You want to leave something. You don't want to get such a close shave. So again, he thinks that it's a matter of how close the shave is. That's what he thinks is important. Rabbi Shabtai Rappaport thought that the important thing was, if you take out the shaver and take out the blade and you put a hair in front of it, would it cut it? How sharp is your blade inside? And if it is too sharp, he thinks you should rub it down with a rock or something and make it a little less sharp. He doesn't want it to be too sharp. Some say if it destroys, then the result is like a shaver and it's prohibited. That's what we've seen from some of the commentators, from the Chafetz Chaim to others, that if the result is a close shave, it's no good. But some say, no, use a bad shaver that doesn't get a close shave. And then once you get a close shave, then use the other shaver, which some would say is a scissor-like activity. But even though it gets it all the way to the bottom, since you've already got down to the bottom, you can continue to shave. In other words, the Noda Behuda thought you could use once you get it down to the bottom, you could use a razor. So we say, no, don't do that, but you could use a good shaver once you get to the bottom. But that's a minority opinion. Yisrael Rosen, who lives in, I think he's one of the head rabbis there in Alon Shvut, near my yeshiva in Alon Shvut, wrote in the important journal Tchumim about modern problems, if it has the mechanics of a scissor, it's permitted. I saw another article where he didn't say that, but that's one philosophy. One approach is that if it has the mechanics of a scissor, namely, there's a guard. It catches hairs. The hairs catch in there, and then a razor blade comes and cuts that, making a abrasion between the guard and the blade. Therefore, it cuts using a scissor-like activity. And therefore, if you take that approach, you can have a close shave, not a close shave. It has this kind of blade, that kind of blade. you have a lift and cut, not a lift and cut, as long as it cuts like a scissor, it's permitted. Somet is an institute there at Alon Shvut, near my yeshiva, the Har Tzion, headed by a friend of mine, Rabbi Rosenfeld, and they come out with decisions about various legal things. So he says, in a low electric shaver, the cutting process of one of contact between the moving blade and the head, the metal screen. So from the point of view of action performed, these machines are scissors. They're all scissors. And this is the basis of our current position that they're claiming that any shaver is kosher. In addition, the current custom to remove the lift and cut mechanism from the shaver is hard to defend. How would I do in my shaver is I took out the lift and cut feature, and I used the shaver without the lift and cut. But he says, no, he doesn't like it. If anything, this mechanism makes the operation even closer to that of a scissors. Why? Because it uses three elements of the cutting process, the blade, the screen, and the lift and cut device. So he thinks it's better with it, the lift and cut. But some authority, if you look at koshershavers.com, you'll see that they don't like the lift and cut. They tell you to take out the lift and cut device. There are different opinions. Companies that requested to have been given halakhic approval for the specific models that were shown to us. In principle, they're no different from other shavers. In other words, you can take an approach. One can take an approach, and they do, that all shavers are kosher. If they're electric shavers, they have the process of catching the hair and then cutting it, which is basically a scissor-like process. Scissor-like processes are permitted. Again, not on the payas on the side up to the joint over here, or some say the lower end of the ear. But the rest of the beard, if you use any kind of electric shaver, it has a scissor-like activity and is permitted all types. Some say no, lift and cut is prohibited, and it depends on the sharpness of the blade. Finally, we say, you know, when you're not, the halacha is not so clear, puk hazeh ma amad davar. Go out and see what do the people do. And I have seen that there are many great rabbis who do who are clean shaven, and I'm gonna rely on them for this, given that I certainly have to have the N95 and I want it to be tight on my face so I can be protected from the coronavirus, and a little shalom bias as well. And so certainly is what to rely on. And having said that, you know, I can't walk away with complete comfort from this issue, because as we said, there is, according to the Rambam, there's the issue of idolatry. There's the issue of trying to have a special Jewish look. The Chassam Sofer was saying, what do you mean? It's not a Jewish look. Jews, why is it a Jewish look? Matter of fact, maybe the payas is sufficient. Maybe that's the Jewish look. You have some sort of side curl. Of course, Elvis also had side curls. Maybe he was Jewish too. But in any event, it's an interesting question. Some want to say that it's a matter of not being overly concerned with your looks. You know, there's actually a rabbinic prohibition of having a mirror, that a man shouldn't be looking in the mirror how beautiful he is. He shouldn't be looking at himself so much. So is this, you know, too much beautification of a man, too much focus on one's looks? It's effort every morning, you have to shave, you know, or is it just normal in our society? Is that okay to try to look like other people in our society? It's all interesting questions. Certainly there are authorities who are strict about it, who think that it's a matter of the final product. The product is a close shave. They have a problem with it. There are those who don't want to have a whole beard, but they just want to have like a close shave, like a little bit of a stubble all around. And that's another approach, sort of a middle approach. Use a scissor, but or a shaver that cuts, for a trimmer that doesn't cut down to the bottom. It's another approach. So certainly those who have a beard, who want to follow the Kabbalistic idea of the Ari, certainly let them be blessed. It's wonderful. Certainly those in Israel want to have sort of a Jewish look. They don't want to try to look Western. They say, we're in Israel, I'm going to look like I feel like looking. I had a cousin, Yehuda Rubin, might be Rubin. He had a big, bushy beard. It wasn't just a matter of, you know, following the Ari. It was a matter of, I'm living in Israel, I can look however I want. I don't need to look like somebody that walks into a law firm in New York City. I am going to look the way my grandfather looked. And certainly many of our grandfathers did have that kind of look. But as we said, there were also periods going all the way back to Crusaders, going back to the medieval times, going back to Spain, Italy that Jews did shave. So at this time, I'm going to have to end the class. But if you have questions, please email me and be in touch. So thank you for joining us today, and join us again on Thursday for a further discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you very much.